Welcome back to part two of That Classic Rock Show. Today we are chatting with Eric Holmquist, the drum tech and percussionist for the band Kansas. Well, Eric, Jim and I are huge fans of the Allman Brothers and the Doobie Brothers, and as you know, both bands have successfully incorporated two drummers at some point. Based on your knowledge and experience, is playing with another drummer a difficult challenge?
It's kind of a mixed mash. When you have two drummers, somebody hopefully is at least always holding down the groove. So if the other one falls off, at least you can pick it up really easy by following the other drummer in a way. The double drumming thing though, Phil and I did it for a good 3 or 4 years where I played on an electronic kit and he played his acoustic kit, and it was cool. It did have his really cool moments, but if somebody fell off key or off, you know, if somebody fell off the boat, I should say, just look at the other drummer and you pick it right back up. So it's kind of a mix mash, I guess, in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's good.
I just, I'm just always amazed when I listen to the Allman Brothers, you know, live at the Fillmore album, and you listen the drumming. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, it's so synchronized, so perfect. And along with the bass, it's like, This is a groove that I don't know if any other band could do.
Well, you know, if you listen to the Allman Brothers,
Johansson,
is more of a fill-in guy. He does a lot of fills.
Butch plays the songs, yeah.
Correct.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Eric.
Okay. Yep. J-Mo is a killer drummer. Still to this day. Even the Doobies. We've played with the Doobie Brothers 20 or 30 times. The last time we played with them, they only had one drummer. And it was just like, wait, I mean, I get it, but that's part of the niche of the Doobie Brothers, I always thought.
I think they had two drummers in the very beginning.
Early on, John Hartman and I can't remember.
The other guy.
The other guy, yeah.
The other guy.
Who passed away about 10 years ago or so, I want to say.
Mm.
All right, Eric, let's talk about sound mix and acoustics. What are some of the bigger challenges in getting a drummer's kit to sound good in a live setting?
Well, for me, I get it to sound good where I'm at. When I'm sitting on the riser, I'll tune it to where I think it sounds good. During line check, you know, when we check all the instruments, our front of house guy, engineer Chad Singer, he'll walk around the entire hall. When I say walk around the entire hall, he'll go upstairs in the balconies, in the corner, in the lobby. It'll take me sometimes 20, 30 minutes to, you know, line check the drums, and that's for him getting a good, what he thinks is a good sound. But it changes when the doors open and there's people inside. It usually takes a song or two to get a nice mix in. But a lot of it is in the early afternoon. Chad will walk around, find the little niches, do what he has to do to make it sound good. When doors open and, you know, when people get in, it's a totally different experience.
Yeah, so. You know, I never thought about that because you've got all that sound absorption from just bodies.
Sure, sure.
Particularly if it's a smaller venue. All right, I'm going to ask you to put your drummer's cap on again. And
all right.
I'm a big Ginger Baker fan. And when he got his two bass drums going, it would sound like a freight train. So my question to you is, one or two kick drums and why in terms of your preference?
Well, my preference, I play one kick drum with a double pedal, but I would rather have two kick drums. And reason is, especially in a live situation, is if your pedal breaks on your main kick drum, if your microphone breaks on your main kick drum, if your drum head breaks on your main kick drum, you have that alternate bass drum to go to while your tech replaces it, in a way. And also, two bass drums, you have two different sounds. You can, you know, tune one differently than the other. So it's two different sounds. So I would say two bass drums for me.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say, if you filled in on drums during a Kansas show, then who's your drum tech? Does Phil come out and fix the drums for you?
No. No, I was my own drum tech for a little while. Our truck driver at the time, who is now one of our tour managers, Rusty Banks, he sat, you know, behind me for the first, I think, two shows. But I was in such a place in my mind that, I mean, you could pinch me. I was just like, oh my God, is this really happening? That I didn't need a tech. I didn't need anybody to help me. I just, I was in the moment, and it was a pretty cool experience, I got to say.
Well, yeah. I think one of the tough things for your job is that bands like Kansas play different venues all the time. Sometimes they play outdoors in a stadium, and the next time they might be in a cozy auditorium. How do you adjust for the different acoustics in each type of venue?
For me, a lot of it too has to do with how much room we have on stage. We have a full semi truck full of lighting, risers, consoles, guitar vaults, work boxes. So a lot of it has to do with how big of a stage we play on from, day to day. Well, like you said, we go from sometimes playing a little casino ballroom, which we just did the other night, to playing a bigger place. So our front of house guy, production manager, Chad Singer, he advances all of our shows. A week before, and I'll look at the sheets and I'll go, okay, this is how big of a stage we're on today. This is how the load-in's going to be. It's tough to really, it's tough to see until you really get there and see what you're dealing with, in a way.
All right. Well, listeners, if you want to see Eric at work on Phil's drums and maybe even play some percussion, get to the Kansas show early when they play at the River Edge Park in Aurora on Sunday, July 24th. Do I have that date right?
Yes, you do.
Yes. And okay. Our opening act is the great Ambrosia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They're in our book, Ambrosia. The
we'll get
singer.
There really,
Joe,
really.
Is it Joe something? Putera or whatever.
All right.
Whatever. Anyway, Eric has got the DJ voice, as I said earlier, and he's going to give us his best underground FM voice. You know, remember the FM voices in the late 60s, early 70s?
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
The radio shows didn't start until like 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah. So the next song is a Kansas song that Eric picked out. So go ahead and introduce it, Eric.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's The Spider by Kansas.
We hope you're enjoying that classic rock show on WHRULP, Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, where we play the greatest music of all time.
So, Eric, during your time with Kansas, do you remember any cities or audiences that were particularly memorable in a good way?
Oh, absolutely. I was able to play Red Rocks twice.
Oh, that's a great place.
It's one of those places. It's a gorgeous place. It's a little tough for crews to do gigs in that place because semi trucks can't drive up the mountain. So what you got to do is you unload your truck early in the morning in the flatbed like pickup trucks almost, and they drive it up. So it could take you 2 hours just to get your stuff from the top or from the bottom up to the top. And then once you get up there, it's like, oh, this is cool. It's a little light for air. Tough to breathe, but it's, you know, Mother Nature at its best up there. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I've never been there. I watched it on YouTube stuff like that. And
yeah,
it looks
same with
so
me.
Cool.
It's beautiful.
It is a beautiful place. It sounds great. Now, cities, though, Tokyo is hands down my favorite place I've ever been in, ever. Tokyo, Japan.
Because of the audiences?
The audiences, everybody is just so nice. I saw a lady get a ticket because her car was too dirty. I'm not kidding. It was, you know, the band would walk out on stage, people would clap, and then it'd be so quiet you could hear a pin drop. Then, you know, as soon as the song would be done, people would go out of their minds and then sit right back down.
You know, Eric, I've heard the exact same description that you just gave of Japanese audiences. Bands love playing there for that reason. They're extremely polite. They listen, and then they go crazy, and then they sit down, and they're quiet.
It's respectful. The food was great. I love sushi, and I love all that kind of food. So it was a great experience for me.
All right.
I hear the spaghetti's not good there, though.
No, terrible pizza, too.
Yeah.
How about Chicago hot dogs? Nah, not so good.
Don't have that.
All right.
That's right.
All right, Eric Wells, we're ready for some more real insider stuff here. Obviously, Kansas is a well-oiled machine after so many years of recording and touring, but have there been any moments where someone in the band has badly blown a cue, a chord, a lyric that draws stares from bandmates?
Well, sure. We're all human. absolutely. And, you know, it does happen from time to time. But now if it happens, everybody just kind of looks at each other and laughs it off.
And then I guess you recover quickly.
Of course. But it does happen from time to time. Just like every band, you know, we're all human.
Well, I mean, your job is so darn cool and appears pretty glamorous. You know, you're talking about going to all these wonderful places, but I'm sure there has to be some pressures. What do you love most about your job, and what are some of those pressures you face sometimes?
What I love most about my job is still being able to work with my best friends. My crew has been together. Our crew has been together. Some of us, you know, 20 years, 18, 17 years, some of us have been together. So I still get to work with my buddies. I still get to see my favorite band every night. The downfalls are the traveling, the being delayed and canceled and having to drive home and, you know, sitting around hotel rooms. And that's the downside for me. The fun part is the gig. That's the easy part.
Yeah, I guess it would get a little boring sometimes, but...
Well, it was fun the first couple of years. You know, I got to go to places that I never knew existed. I mean, my first tour with the band was in Europe. So I went, you know, my first ever experience with these guys, I was in Athens, Greece, and I was in the Canary Islands and Milan, Italy, and Paris and all this stuff. So my first 4 years, I was pretty spoiled. I went everywhere. And then after a while, it just becomes a job, you know.
Well, Eric, this is something a little out of left field, but when you went to these places, do you guys ever, like, if you're having a couple of gigs where you have a little bit of time, do you actually get out there and tour and walk around some of these exotic places that you've gone to?
Sometimes we have, but for the most part, a day off for me is usually spent in my hotel room just relaxing, laundry. Catching up on phone calls with family. Thank God for, like, I hate to say it, but thank God for Facebook in a way. I can keep in touch with family members like that.
Okay.
But for the most part, is my days off. I want to stay in my room and not spend money. You know.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
No smashing hotel windows or anything like that, or TVs.
No.
That would cost you a few pennies.
Anyways. It'd be all over social media now, too.
Yeah. Well, what is the most nerve-wracking venue experience you've ever had at a Kansas concert?
There's been quite a few. But one of the most, I should say two of them in my... than I can think of. In 2009, we did a DVD in Topeka, Kansas, which is where the band was from. We did it with a 60-piece symphony orchestra, which it was a bunch of kids. It was a Washburn University, college university. Did a DVD. Steve Morris came out to play. Carrie Livgren came out. But we had, you know, one shot. We did a dress rehearsal the night before. And then the next night it was like, all right, this is it. This is how much film we have. So if I was just praying that, you know, no cymbal stand fell over or no drum had broke or, you know, because you can't run out on stage while they're filming to fix something. You'd be cut. So that was one of those gigs where I was just thinking like, oh, please don't let anything go wrong. And then the other one was when we did the 40th anniversary in Pittsburgh. It was going to be billed as the original band. And about 3 days before it happened, Robbie Steinhardt, God rest his soul.
Yes.
Great violin.
Yes.
And a good friend, wonderful, wonderful guy. Love Robbie.
He had great hair too. It went.
Oh, he was the signature guy in Kansas. When you look at him, the guy with the big hair, you know, he was, and he was such a commanding front man too. But a couple days before we did this 40th anniversary show in Pittsburgh, Robbie had had a heart attack and he was unable to do the show. Show was sold out in a matter of days. It was like 3,000 seats. It was at an old venue called the Stanley Theater, which the band had played in the early 70s. And that's kind of where we're, you know, they'd gotten big. One of their first big cities was Pittsburgh. So Carrie Livgren came out. Dave Hope came out. We did it with a symphony, part of it with a symphony and part of it with just the band. But there was a everybody was nervous that day, which entailed made me nervous.
Yeah.
You know, seeing some of the band guys a little uptight and a little nervous was just like, oh no, if they're nervous, I'm nervous.
Well, I think we need time to play another song. You're going to introduce it. You know what song you're going to introduce here, Eric?
I think I do. And this is my little nod to Robbie Steinhardt. This is Journey from Marybrown from the very first Kansas album. Thank you.
All right. Eric, when you're not on the road with Kansas, where do you call home these days, and what do you enjoy doing in your free time?
I live in Northwest Indiana. I live about 30 miles from the city of Chicago. And my biggest thing when I'm not on the road is I collect monster memorabilia, universal monster memorabilia from the 60s and 50s and 60s, 70s, masks and models and toys and stuff like that. I've got a pretty eclectic collection. There's a video on YouTube, actually, of my collection.
So one last question. Do you ever just sit back and think how lucky you are that you get to do what you do?
Every day. Every single day. I do complain a lot about the travel and stuff, but I'm so very, very, very fortunate that my job has lasted this long. You know, when I got the gig, I expected it to be a couple of years. I'm going almost on 20 years with these guys, so I am beyond blessed.
Well, that's wonderful, Eric.
Well, Eric, you've been a fantastic guest. I mean, great answers. I'm so happy for you that you got to do what you love to do. And
Thank you all very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So, again, we're talking to Eric Holmquist, who's the drum tech for the band Kansas. And hope you had a good time.
I had a great time. Thank you very much. And I really hope you guys can make it to the Wisconsin show.
Yeah, I'll be there for sure. But for our listeners and our audience locally, Kansas will be at the River Edge Park in Aurora on Sunday, July 24th.
And you've been listening to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio. Our shows can be heard on 101.5 FM every Monday from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. and Fridays from 11 a.m. to noon.
Or you can listen anytime once our shows are archived on the station's website at huntleyradio.com. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more. Beyond this illusion, I was soaring ever higher. You cry.